Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear about a special summer camp for military families and discover treatment available from the VA for chronic pain. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Keeping a marriage strong enough to thrive through the unique challenges of a military deployment is important to our nation's military. The Army first introduced this idea in 1997 with their program, Building Strong and Ready Families. They brought together 90 active duty couples to participate in what could be called a retreat, and it was received with enthusiasm. Since then, the Army has welcomed more than 160,000 couples to their improved marriage program, now called Strong Bonds. Here in Minnesota, our chaplain-led Strong Bonds program is also helping couples grow together. One weekend a month, all summer long, Strong Bonds retreats are being held at various locations throughout the state. During the weekend-long event, couples spend most of their time in discussions or practicing effective communication skills. As a couple and in a small group setting, they learn about expectations, commitment, forgiveness, and feeling understood. Those who have attended really get a kick out of the Saturday night assignment to go out on a date. In the National Guard, we encourage service members and their spouses to attend a Strong Bonds event in lieu of a weekend drill. This affords them extra time devoted to communicating with each other, makes our service members healthier and stronger leaders in our ranks. Our chaplains also have a program for our single service members to have an empowering weekend of internal growth. For more information on the Strong Bonds retreats, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Camp Gratitude is a free, week-long camping experience for military families to relax and have fun while building strength and resilience. They do this to honor and thank veterans and their families for their service to our country. The camp is for military families who have experienced deployment in the past several years. Joining us now to talk about that is Bill Hoddle from Camp Gratitude. Bill, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Bill, I understand that you're a fellow Vietnam veteran. Can you tell us about your career in the military?
Well, the career consisted of 3 years in the late 60s, 1967 to 70. 1 year in Vietnam. My MOS was military intelligence.
So United States Army. What year were you in Vietnam?
68 to 69.
The year of the big Tet Offensive.
Right after.
Well, Bill, thanks for serving, and it's nice to have a fellow Vietnam veteran on the show. Camp Gratitude.
Yes, sir.
Where did that idea come from, and what is it?
Camp Gratitude is a program, not necessarily a location. I originally got the idea by watching a weekend network news show. There was a camp similar in Texas. I got the idea that I thought it would be good to have something like that in Minnesota. Discussing the idea with different people, I got some positive reaction, just decided to pursue it. Along the lines of pursuit, it occurred to us that it would be nice to try to integrate a new normal of family life within the program. And during the process, I was fortunate to be introduced to two people, Rebecca Miller and James McCauley, who themselves are military veterans and licensed family therapists. And they put together a wonderful program, interactive program for our families to participate in during the week with the intention of keeping marriages together and preventing some suicides and helping in that direction.
So, Bill, how many years ago did you start on this idea?
We were incorporated in 2010, 2011. Was our first year. The last 3 years, we've been in partnership with the Veterans Campground in Big Marine Lake, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful partnership.
Now, Bill, this was quite an idea. How long did it take you to put it together? You must have worked on it for a couple of years before the first event.
Actually, I believe the discussion started in the fall of 2010. We actually did our first camp in July of 2011. So it came together very, very quickly. There was a lot of people within the community, a lot of organizations within the community that stepped up to make it possible.
And where was that first camp?
Actually, that was at Camp Tanaduna on Camp Manawashta, campfire camp in Chanhassen.
And how many folks attended that one?
Oh, I think we had four families.
Four families. Four so families. You started out small, but gave you an opportunity
positive,
to see how it go.
It was the feedback was positive to asking us to do it for other families, so it kept us going. It's not, yeah.
And how many days was that first camp?
1 week.
1 week?
Yep.
Well, what were the expectations of the four families?
I'm not sure. It could have been just that they were looking for a free vacation. I don't know what the expectations were. It certainly was rustic. We have come a long way. We have learned a lot. We have attempted to listen to the families, meaning how can we better the camp for them? Because this is about them. This is about us saying thank you for everything not only the military member has done, but the family at home has done. They have also sacrificed a lot, and we want to say thank you to everybody.
We're speaking with Bill Hoddle from Camp Gratitude on Minnesota Military Radio. Bill, that first camp again, how structured was that first one, or did you have some thoughts about what you wanted to accomplish?
Other than providing, a thank you and to some resiliency training or programs, meaning understand family life after deployment. Family life coming home is different. Time doesn't stop during deployment, and what keeps us as veterans going during deployment are the thoughts of can't wait to get home and have everything as it was. It's not always like that.
Now, Bill, were the families receptive to having a vacation with other military families
nearby?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The bonding from year one through this year has just been phenomenal. The families, the last days, there's, from my observation, been a lot of hugs and some tears.
Now, you just finished up the 2014 Camp Gratitude event, which was June 20th to the 27th at the Veterans Campground on Big Marine Lake. How many folks showed up this year?
We had eight families and probably 50 total families plus staff and volunteers.
So veterans, families, children?
Yes, sir.
And how's that facility for those people that have never been there?
It's absolutely phenomenal. It's geared towards the military. The staff has just been so nice and welcoming, and the treatment of our families. It's just been phenomenal.
Now, Bill, I'm looking at your materials, and you make the point that veterans suffer disproportionately high rates of unemployment, homelessness, alcohol and drug abuse, divorce, and suicide. And I know that at Camp Gratitude, you provide the participants with access to professional family therapists, and you told us about that. Do they take advantage of who's there? Do they spend a lot of time with their kids and just have some fun, or do they do some healing as well?
I personally try to stay out of that. I don't, as far as any personal time that the families may have with the therapists, I don't feel that's any of my need to know. I believe the programs are being received very favorably by the families.
So those therapists are there and ready and willing and able to help?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so what's a typical, walk me through a typical week. What happens? They I assume they go swimming.
The campgrounds offer, we do have planned activities. This year, different organizations have stepped up. Famous Dave's helped supply a barbecue. The Minnesota Twins supplied tickets to a game. Minnesota coaches provided transportation from the campground to the stadium. Domino's Pizzas donated pizzas. Again, the community has just really stepped up for these families, and it's just so heartwarming to see what they are doing.
Now, Bill, Camp Gratitude is a 501c3 nonprofit.
That's correct.
So you're out begging for money all the time?
That's pretty much what my life has been reduced to. Yes, sir.
And apparently you're pretty good at it.
Well, it's a good cause.
So if our listeners want to help, Where do they go?
CampGratitude.org. There is a donation site there. 100% of our funding comes from private donations. None of our administrators are paid anything. Every dime raised goes towards the production of Camp Gratitude.
Bill, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little more about Camp Gratitude, and you've brought a military family with you that experienced this the last couple of years, so we're going to find out from them just how effective this is and how much fun they had out at Veterans Campground on Big Marine Lake.
Thank you so much.
We've been speaking to Bill Hoddle from Camp Gratitude on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking with Bill Hoddle from Camp Gratitude, which is a week-long free camping experience for military families to relax and have fun while building strength and resilience. And this is for our recently deployed service members and their families. And Bill, I forgot to ask you one question in the beginning. I know you're a 501c3 nonprofit. They can go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page and find a link to your page so that they can help with that. But who's eligible to attend one of these camps?
Really, any military family, particularly that has experienced deployment within recent years. We're not hard and true as far as how long it's been. It's primarily our preference is to the most recent, but anybody that has experienced deployment within the last number of years. Primarily, we want to just say thank you to the entire family.
So if our military families are interested, they go to your website and find your contact information.
Applications for the 2015 are already posted on our website, which is campgratitude.org. I expect applications to come in more numerous now that as we're growing. In the past, I would like to have my life made difficult by meaning how can I squeeze everybody in. If I have 20 families, I'd like to be able to figure out how I'm going to make 20 families work.
Well, I hope a lot of people sign up so you can spend all winter out there paying.
And I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh, we have a Marine in the studio again.
We do.
And it's always fun when we
and
have
his wife.
And his wife. The Marine brought his boss.
Well.
Do you want to introduce who you brought with you today?
I'd love to. Rick Martin and his wife, Kristen. They have been alumni of Camp Gratitude for the last 2 years.
Rick and Kristen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Rick, I want to start with you. You were in the United States Marine Corps active duty for how long?
12 years, sir.
And deployed a few times?
A few.
Tell us about your deployments.
They were hot, full of sand.
Where did you get to go?
Long, miserable. I went twice to Afghanistan, twice to Iraq.
And you were married then?
I was married during my last two deployments.
So, Kristen, how were those deployments?
Not the best time of my life.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Home alone and worried about him being over there in harm's way.
Yeah, trying to explain it to the kids as to why Dad's not coming home for a while.
And things change while he's gone, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And then you have to come back and get together and go over all those things. And, Rick, you had to come back and learn how to be a civilian again.
Not so much a civilian. Just had to learn how to be a dad and a husband again. Because the needs of my family changed while I was gone. The things that I provided while I was home before deployment were not necessarily the same things that I needed to provide when I got back.
And your children were a little more grown up?
A little more grown up, reading and sass-mouthed, and they all grew up.
So, Rick, where did you hear about Camp Gratitude?
I actually heard about it from my wife, Kristen. She's a real estate agent, and I think she originally saw it in a real estate ad or real estate circular. She saw it on there, and she's like, I know that your last deployment was 2007, so I'm going to send in the application anyways, and, if we get accepted, we get accepted. And I think it was about 2-3 weeks later, she got an email from Bill saying that we were accepted, and he was looking forward to having us out there.
Kristen, was this in a magazine? How did you find out about it?
No, it's a internal email that goes to RE/MAX agents. And Bill had posted on there saying if you have any clients who are recently deployed, any military families that you work with. And my mom actually saw it because she's an agent too. And she said, you should check this out and see if you and Rick qualify for it. So I just did the application just on the off chance that they might have room for us, even though it's been a while since he's been deployed. And they did, thank God.
So last year was your first year to go?
Yes, it was.
Tell me about it. How was that?
It was amazing. We were kind of expecting it to be more like the mandatory stuff that they make you do before and after deployments that is not as much fun as they make it out to be. So we were a little bit nervous going in, but we were excited that it was a free vacation pretty much. And getting
there, that was how we kind of looked at it was, yeah. You know, if it helps us build our relationships, if it does all that, great. If not, we got a free week-long vacation. Yeah.
Had you been out to the veterans camp on Big Marine Lake prior to that?
No, we had never been out there. I never even knew it was there.
Kristen, how's that camp?
It's awesome. A couple of my friends out there, I'm not a camping type person, so they said, you're going camping? And I said, yeah, but it's camping with air conditioning and a toilet, and they're really nice facilities.
So your camping was staying in a cabin?
Yeah.
At a pretty nice place.
It was beautiful.
And the camp, the week itself, didn't have too much structure to it?
They had almost every day they have at least one activity scheduled, and they actually are fun. And they do build your family's relationship and help you explain to your kids and talk to your husband about things that you may not have thought to bring up or couldn't explain right.
For your younger children, because the entire family partakes in the events, in the curriculum, and for the younger kids, to them it just seems like games. Mm-hmm. There's a water balloon relay, you know, one person's blindfolded and, you know, the rest of the family is directing them while other families out there are catching water balloons that you're throwing up. And to the littler kids, they just think it's games and it's fun. But then when you step back and look at the meanings behind why you did it, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And when you compare it to, you know, how the family did when you were deployed, it makes a lot of sense with the structure behind it.
We're speaking with Rick and Kristen Martin about Camp Gratitude on Minnesota Military Radio. Rick, how was it having other military families there for that week?
It was fantastic. Last year, there were a lot of families out there. I think there was only one other Marine last year out there. And the families all came together for the activities, but then for the most part, they kind of just separated and went back off and, you know, spent family time and stuff like that. This year, the families that were out there were more Marines. So it made it better because even after the structured activities, we would all still stay in a group. Me and one of the other husbands out there, he was a Marine gunnery sergeant stationed here in Minnesota. We do kickball with the kids, and all the parents would come out there and play. And the kids had a great time. The kids loved it, and I liked how close the families were this year especially.
Kristen, was it worthwhile to meet some of those other military wives?
It very much was. The sense of camaraderie you get not living on base anymore. There's civilians all around you. They don't really, I mean, they kind of get it, but they don't really understand. And coming together with all the military families like that, everybody gets exactly what you went through and what you're going through now, and it helps.
Rick, it reminds me that when you're deployed, you're with your unit and everybody's close and tight and protecting each other. Then when you come home and you muster out, you're on your own again.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this is a chance to get back with some other veterans.
Absolutely. And reconnect with them and stay connected with them. I know that there's some families from last year that I still communicate with on Facebook on a daily, weekly basis. I know that Kristen still keeps in contact with some of the military wives that she's met out there. So I think it's fantastic. You know, they still check in with each other, still see how each other's doing. Some of the families that we've met out there are Army National Guard reserves. And, you know, if they get activated and called up now, you know, it's like a whole new network of people that know what you're going through, and you know, they can reach out and
so would
find
you
the
guys,
help they need.
Would you recommend this to other military families?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Kristen, yes?
Yeah.
And Bill did a good job?
Yes, he did.
Bill, we thank Bill for having the idea and making it happen. We thank the counselors for taking the time and volunteering for it. Rebecca and James have done a fantastic job with the curriculum and putting it together. It's just altogether just a wonderful experience.
We're coming back now to Bill Huddle. Bill, we've just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about this great job you're doing with Camp Gratitude?
I encourage if people have a opportunity to sign up and go, I'd love to be able to have the opportunity to say thank you to them. I have growth ideas for our future. I want to reach, hopefully within my lifetime, as many military families as I possibly can, and thank people like Kristen and Rick for making this old man feel pretty good.
And Bill, you'd welcome some volunteers and some donations.
Oh, always need donations.
And if they go to the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site, we'll have a link to Camp Gratitude. Bill, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Rick and Kristen, glad you had fun out there, and I hope you get to go again next year. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
It was Bill Huddle from Camp Gratitude on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Coming up next, we'll discover a treatment available at the VA for chronic pain. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll discover treatment available from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for chronic pain. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Last month, I attended the groundbreaking of the Minnesota Military Family Tribute at the State Capitol Mall. According to Bill Popp, one of the planners of the tribute, it is the first of its kind in the country, and other states are taking notice. The tribute will consist of a walkway lined with trees, benches, and flowers that will lead to story stones. 87 stones will represent Minnesota counties. There will also be a Gold Star table. For Gold Star families, this table will serve as a place for healing and acknowledgement of their pain and ultimate sacrifice. When we deploy our service members, we deploy their families also. Minnesota leads the nation on providing the best support to families of soldiers, and now will lead the way to forever thank families for their sacrifice. The tribute will forever stand as a personal thank you to each spouse, significant other, child, parent, grandparent, sibling, and any other person, a member or former member of our U.S. military, defines as family. These individuals provide the true foundation of support for our military personnel. The tribute is scheduled to be completed next June.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the pain management program at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center is Dr. Peter Marshall. Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to speak with veterans about Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Doctor, can you tell me, where did you start your career in medicine?
I went to medical school in Nashville, Tennessee at Vanderbilt University, and did my family practice residency right here in the Twin Cities at North Memorial Medical Center.
And where did that lead you, sir?
That led me to a 5-year job in Hayward, Wisconsin. If you don't know where that is, it's about 3 hours from the Twin Cities, and it's a small town of less than 5,000. I was a family doctor there, and I think that's where I basically started realizing that regular modern medicine doesn't have all the answers to help people deal with their pain problems.
So you were in a general practice over in rural Wisconsin.
General practice, delivering babies, working in the emergency room, seeing patients in clinic. Yep.
Some long hours?
Long hours.
And you got to see everything.
Just about. Just about.
How in the world did you arrive at the as a member of the VA Medical Center?
Well, when I left Hayward, Wisconsin, I came to work as a family doctor in St. Paul for one of the larger medical groups, Group Health or Health Partners, and worked as a family doctor initially, then started doing more sports medicine and working with patients with injuries at work and starting to see more and more patients with chronic pain problems. So I first had a small chronic pain practice as a part of a general family practice at Health Partners in St. Paul, then moved on to an occupational medicine practice with Health Partners in Minneapolis, and after that moved to the Minneapolis VA in 2006.
Doctor, was that influenced by your family's history as veterans?
It was, actually. My grandfather was in World War I, serving in the trenches in France, and my father was in World War II as an aviator, and I have photos of them in their military careers on my desk at the VA now.
Did you ever get any stories from your grandfather about the trenches?
I heard about the lice and the poor hygiene conditions. I don't think he wanted to talk about the and the gas. So it was not a good place.
Pretty brutal, I think.
Yes.
Doctor, how did you, once you got to the VA, how did you get into the pain management program?
Well, I basically continued the work that I'd been doing beforehand to some extent with, I'd been doing some guideline development work on low back pain and chronic pain before I came to the VA. And I started doing that as part of my work, but I was also working in compensation and pension for several years before I moved into full-time pain management.
Doctor, did you find that the use of medications for chronic pain was a little disturbing?
Well, I think you're referring to opioid pain medications, Tom?
Yes, sir.
So I think that most people have heard about the issues and problems with opioid pain medications, sometimes called painkillers, and how the use of those had dramatically increased all over the country, not just in the VA. From the mid-1980s, when I was practicing in Hayward, Wisconsin, where it was kind of unusual for me to prescribe more than one or two Percocet, to the late 2000s, where high-dose opioid prescribing for chronic pain was pretty common.
We're speaking with Dr. Peter Marshall from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, who is an expert in the pain management program on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, I was reading some articles about the use of opioids, and I've heard and seen over the years that a lot of people get hooked on painkillers. Is that something that just kind of mushrooms out of control quietly, and all of a sudden we've got a problem?
Well, I think that those painkillers or opioid pain medications are kind of a two-edged sword. So you can use them in ways that are very helpful, but also they can cause great harm. So, you know, a lot of people, basically I would say it breaks down into three groups in terms of how people respond to those medications. So about a third of patients will find them uncomfortable, constipated, dizzy, sedated. I don't like this feeling. You know, you take them if you need to after surgery, and then you get off them as soon as possible.
So the side effects are enough so that they want to stop this.
Yeah, definitely. You know, about a third of the people can kind of tolerate the side effects, but, you know, don't have any enduring cravings or desire to keep on them. They just like to get off them as soon as possible. And a third of the people probably are prone to having problems with them for various reasons. Addiction is a disease that crosses many boundaries. So alcohol problems, problems with opioid painkillers, problems with gambling. So some people are just more prone to those kind of things. And that's just the natural way that people are. So doctors have to be careful in using opioids to prevent overuse by and that can cause harm.
Doctor, did you find that once you started studying the use of these opioids that it was a little higher use than you maybe have expected?
Yes, that's true, Tom. So in about 2009, we started looking at some of the numbers at Minneapolis VA, and we realized we had quite a large number, about 400 patients on very high-dose opioids, which was troubling to a number of people. And we felt like, and we knew from the literature that had come out recently, that there were significantly more harm than good that was being done from prescribing these medications.
Doctor, would it be safe to say that of those 400 patients, that most of them had chronic or recurring pain issues that just wouldn't go away?
Essentially, that's true, yes. Prescribing of these medications for chronic pain, not cancer pain. We're not talking about cancer pain at all, and I want to make that very clear. That's a whole different ballgame. You know, if somebody has cancer or they're dying at the end of their life from some other cause, we treat them very differently. It's a very important medication to use in that situation. But for aches and pains, back pain and arthritis, like probably you have and I have, it's just not a good medication because your body builds up tolerance to it, and you need higher and higher doses to get the same pain control effect, and that leads to more and more side effects.
So those patients had wear and tear issues or maybe injuries that caused some things, and they just were constantly in some kind of pain and looking for a way to get some relief.
Well, I think it's fair to say that none of us like to be in pain.
That's
and
true,
all
sir.
Of us, all of us are looking for ways to decrease, pain if we have it. So it's really a natural thing to do, and I think that we also tend to look. It's natural too to look for an easy answer. So a bottle of pills can seem like an easy answer for a chronic pain problem, like lots of wear and tear in the back or previous surgeries or traumatic injuries, military injuries. These things have lingering, they hang with us. We tend to, when we have those kind of injuries, we tend to do less and less, become less and less active, and that can lead to use of strong pain medications.
So, Doctor, when you found this higher than expected use of opioids, then your challenge was to find ways to bring that use down and find alternative therapies for those patients with chronic pain.
Exactly.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about how you've taken some actions, some very good actions from what I read, to resolve that issue. We're speaking with Dr. Peter Marshall from the Pain Management Program at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tom Lyons, founder and principal partner of Phelan Partners Limited, a Twin Cities mergers and acquisitions advisory firm where we help business owners to plan, prepare, and execute a strategy to complete the deal. When I'm not hosting Minnesota Military Radio on this station, I'm hard at work helping business owners with their exit strategies. If you're interested in selling a business, please give us a call at 763-231-4200 at Phelan Partners Limited. We've been bringing buyers and sellers together since 1985 and would welcome an opportunity to help you. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking today with Dr. Peter Marshall from the Pain Management Program at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. Dr. Marshall, we were talking in the last segment about the pain management program and the fact that once you got in there and started studying it, you discovered that there was a higher than expected use of opioids to help manage pain for those suffering from chronic pain, and that it appeared that something needed to be done to change that. What did you do after you discovered that to change the treatment and change how you handle chronic pain?
Well, Tom, for the last 2.5 years, we've been working to gradually decrease the use of high-dose opioids. Our goal is not to eliminate all opioids. It's just to decrease the high-risk ones. So as part of that also, we had to train the primary care teams, like the primary care doctor and the pharmacist and the nurse and a psychologist on a team to help provide other resources for patients.
And what we're talking about is pain relievers.
Pain relief, pain management. So, you know, I think you and I talked a little earlier about how focusing on just one thing to take care of all your pain, like one pill, is rarely going to solve a problem with chronic pain. So using a care plan that has multiple strategies, for instance, taking non-prescription pain medications like Tylenol or ibuprofen, using heat or ice, doing stretching, doing exercise, doing mental techniques like meditation or relaxation breathing, doing gradual, gentle exercise. Putting the whole package together is actually much more effective than one pill.
So to use all of these alternatives, the object is to bring down or use less painkillers?
Right, and also to help improve patients' function. So usually when people are taking pain pills, you know, it makes you sedated. You don't feel like doing as much, and that leads to like getting out of shape and deconditioned. So by having a broader approach, you're also becoming a little more active, doing more of the things that you really want to do and that are important to you. And that's kind of a distraction too. You know, if you do something else, you think less about you worry less about the pain, and it actually decreases the intensity of the pain.
So, doctor, is part of this the fact that maybe some of the patients say, oh, woe is me, and they sit in their chair at home and they don't move and they feel terrible and they think they feel terrible, and as opposed to get up and get engaged and move around and think about something besides just the chronic pain?
Exactly right. I think, you know, I think that's very well put. I think the other part of that is doing things that you really like to do, you know, whether that's a hobby, working in your wood shop or gardening or, you know, riding a bike or volunteering in a way to help other people. And all those things get you moving. So one of the sayings that I'm hearing people use from time to time now is motion is lotion. So moving tends to help smooth things out, make it everything work better. So getting up and moving around is really helpful to managing pain and the bigger goal of doing more of the things you really want to do.
So part of that is just basic things like find something you're passionate about and get up and go do it.
Makes a huge difference. You know, we have had patients. We just started within the last 6 months a chronic pain rehabilitation program that is modeled on a Mayo Clinic program that has been going on for 40 years. That program is a very intensive program. It's not for everybody. It's sort of like an intensive boot camp for chronic pain, where we work with both psychology strategies and physical therapy exercise strategies to help people transition from the not really doing anything kind of bad position that people can get into with chronic pain to returning to a more active lifestyle. And we've had great successes, and it's remarkable to see how much patients can transform in a 3-week period with a program like that.
Now, doctor, have you been able to share some of the things you've discovered with other primary care doctors?
So that's actually my role, Tom. I'm kind of in between. I'm a primary care doctor based on my training, but I'm doing full-time pain medicine now. So I'm a liaison or intermediary to help train, support primary care providers, nurses, and pharmacists in their teams to do the right thing to help patients with pain. And that right thing sometimes involves the need to see a pain specialist. So I also work on the pain specialty side, where we have this pain rehabilitation program. We also have the ability to do special procedures with needles that you may have heard about. We have a chiropractor. We do acupuncture. We do have specialized physical therapy. And it's a matter of really putting together the right package for each person.
Doctor, it sounds like you're doing some great work out at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center to help take care of our veterans and to spread all of this information throughout the system so that the other primary care doctors can do a good job.
That's true.
Doctor, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think that pain management is changing. So you will hear different messages from your doctors now about how to manage pain. There'll be less use of the strong opioid pain medications, more use of the kind of strategies I was just talking about, including other complementary and alternative strategies. So stay tuned, stay active, and find something that you love to do.
Great message, Doctor. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Dr. Peter Marshall from the Pain Management Program at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Joining me now is the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubinski. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me again.
Todd, we just heard from Dr. Peter Marshall from the Minneapolis VA talking about chronic pain management. I'm sure you've got some folks, some veterans down in Scott County that probably suffer from that.
Yeah, we have there's a large number of veterans who suffer from chronic pain. And just about anybody that served has developed some type of arthritis because it's a very physically demanding job. And I actually was getting treated with a narcotic for some knee pain that I have. And I decided it wasn't for me, and I came off it, and I was very sick for about 3 days afterwards. And I won't go back on it again. So my doctor and I have worked on some alternatives. So far, so good. I've been able to manage the pain.
Well, he told us that one of the treatments that they have now is if you've got chronic pain, to try to reduce the number of painkillers you take and find something you're passionate about and get up and get moving.
Yeah, that actually does make a huge difference. I try to move as much as I possibly can. I'm finding myself taking on little projects, and then I take them out, you know, like an ibuprofen if the pain gets overwhelming. And so far I've been able to deal with it pretty well.
Sounds like you're getting the current treatment. Now, I understand the Scott County Fair is coming up.
Yep, next Friday. It'll be next Thursday through Sunday it runs, and on Friday is actually Veterans Day. So myself and my assistant Jerry will be out there, and we're going to have our veterans bus out there and have it open so people could take a look at it. It's brand new. And we'll be there also to answer any questions and meet with the people and talk about our new clinic in Shakopee and how to get involved with that.
So all you veterans that are going out to the Scott County Fair, stop by and see Todd Kubinski and have a good time out there.
Absolutely.
Todd, we're just about out of time. Thanks for visiting with us again today.
You're welcome, Tom. Anytime.
That was Todd Kubinski, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Bill Hoddle, Dr. Peter Marshall, Todd Kubinski, Rick and Kristen Martin, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet our newest Assistant Adjutant General and hear how you can continue serving in the Minnesota State Patrol. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.